Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, July 30th, the year of our Lord, 2023. This is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. It's a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, no matter when you're listening or where you're listening. We are here together for a time of word and prayer and song and silence. And so let's begin. And we'll begin in the manner in which we're accustomed around here at the podcast, by celebrating the gift of life, by taking in the breath of life. So breathe in and let it out and take in another breath. And thank God for the gift of life. And as you breathe, call to mind those things in your life that are good, those things that are true and beautiful and worthy and lovely, these things that are a gift from God. Maybe take a look up at the sky. And as you're thinking on these good things, again, thank God for all of it. And in this posture, in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your bulletin. You can find today's bulletin just below where you found the podcast. It's a little tab just below there. I think it says sermon notes, but you can see it right there. See it? Now tap on it, click on it, and the bulletin will come up. Let's begin. Lord, our God, where is there another God like you, a God of justice and unfailing love, who stands by every promise made to his people, generation after generation? There is no other. You alone are God. We pray that your Spirit would guide and inspire our worship. Open our mouths to sing and speak your praise. Open our ears to hear your word. Open our eyes to see you at work among us. Open our hearts to receive your love. We offer ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew's gospel in the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 33, and then we jump to verse 44 through 52. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word alive and among us. We pray, O God, that you would provoke our thinking. Help us to focus on what it is you have to say to us in this moment through these words in our time and place. God, we pray for your blessings and your wisdom and your enlightenment. We ask, O God, that you would save us from distraction and misinterpretation so that we would find strength and hope and peace and joy and comfort in your word. We pray this in your holy name and say, Amen. A few reflections on this stack of parables that Jesus gives us, so that we might be able to think more and more clearly about the kingdom of heaven. Statements about its value, about how sometimes it can be small and maybe even invisible or unseen to the untrained eye or to folks who are distracted and can't quite see evidence of heaven that's all around. There's an old expression that goes something like this, that one can know the price of everything and the value of nothing. And in some ways, I hear Jesus teaching lessons on value, things beyond price, the true worth of something, things that can't be destroyed or stolen or corrupted in any way, these things that have eternal value. This is what I think he's trying to focus our attention on with these parables, and that it makes a difference, that there are consequences to our paying attention or not paying attention, understanding price and understanding value. In reading through these parables this week, I was reminded of a time a while ago now. My parents were moving out of the house that I grew up in, and they were moving to a smaller house, and so some of the furniture and things in the house they needed to sell or at least find new homes for. And one of those things was a beautiful piano, this beautiful baby grand piano, which just simply wasn't going to fit in the new house. And I can remember my dad kind of struggling as to how much he wanted to charge for someone to buy the piano. And it was clear to me it was less important to him how much money he made or how much money he got from selling the piano as it was that he wanted the piano to find a good home. That he'd hoped it wouldn't sit in someone's living room gathering dust, that it might be something that a musician would sit down and play every day. A craftsman had assembled this beautiful piano with the intention that someday someone would play it, and it would live up to its full potential of pianoness, making music for everyone to hear and to enjoy. And as it so happened, I guess in response to an ad, I don't really remember, a musician came and was very interested in the piano, and I think assumed that he wouldn't be able to afford it. But again, that wasn't my dad's objective. And so whatever price they agreed on, I believe, was well below market value, market price. But the value of selling that piano to this particular musician was much greater to my dad than how many dollars he made selling it. And I think somewhere in there is an illustration that connects with what Jesus is teaching us today. Some of us can pass by. I'm sitting or standing in the sanctuary at church, and to my left is a beautiful Yamaha baby grand piano. And in my hands, it makes a much better coffee table than it does a piano. But when some of the musicians from church sit down and play, or when we have guests come in and play, it brings people to tears. It is, some to me, a foretaste, a foreshadowing of what heaven is like when someone sits down and pours themselves in and pours themselves out of an instrument. Such is the kingdom of the heavens when we're all in for that thing that is beautiful and true and worthy and lovely. And when we understand the value of the people and the things around us, things like simple things that we might take for granted, like a mustard seed. But he says, think about it, though. This little seed, it goes into the ground, and it, in its maturity, it becomes this beautiful tree. And it is good for shelter and shade. It's a blessing to the whole community, to the people and to the animals. This is what heaven's like. Heaven is like someone goes through the trouble of grinding up grain and making flour, which you can do certain things with. But when you add life to it, when you infuse it with yeast, that yeast permeates all of that flour. And then it becomes food enough for the house, food enough for the family, food enough for the community. This is what heaven's like. Or sometimes heaven, and encountering heaven, is simply a moment of clarity, of being at the right place at the right time, like a man digging in a field who stumbles across a treasure. Just when one might think that their life is an empty potter's field, a treasure that says, this treasure, this thing that I've found fills me with such joy and such hope and such life that I'm going to sell off everything else. And let's peel back the illustration a little bit to discover meaning and value and eternal truth and goodness in life, to have a life-giving encounter with Jesus means let me purge myself of the stuff that is passing. To exchange all of this other stuff, to cast it off, so that my life would be completely focused on the kingdom of heavens, of the heavens. This is where Jesus is trying to point his disciples and us, those of us who hear this parable. He continues on with this illustration of this merchant of fine pearls, someone who knows what they're looking for. Someone who knows a good pearl from a bad pearl, costume jewelry from the real thing. And in their search, finally one day they find the pearl. There's no need to look anymore. I found it. This is the one. I'll never find a better pearl. It is perfect in every way. And so again, casts off everything else and dedicates his life, her life, to holding on to this beautiful pearl. And it's available to all of us. There is this large catch of fish that's described as the last parable, pulling in the full net, and that some are good fish to be caught and others are not. And at some point at the end of all things, there's a sorting out period. But for us in the here and the now, it's an understanding that the kingdom of heaven is much closer than we might imagine, might require us to lean in on our own expertise and training in one field or another, might call us to hold out hope that there could be a treasure buried right beneath our feet, and we just need to dig a little bit every day to see what it is we might uncover. Could be that there is a treasure in this word of ours, these parables of Jesus, the stories of the gospel, the stories of the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, of a God who reveals himself to his people, reminds them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and calls them to a hope and a future. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is offered to us at great price. Jesus pays the ultimate price because he finds in us a great treasure that he wants to care for and love for all eternity. It's remarkable good news. And I pray that you'll do yourself a favor. Read through this 13th chapter of Matthew with these parables in mind. Where are the treasures? What's of great value? What are the things that they reveal that you would exchange everything else for? Maybe even risk your own life to preserve and to hold close. Again, it's very good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Naomi and Ruth and Esther, God of Martha and Mary, apostles and disciples, God of the unnamed faithful, we call to you, dear God, and we pray. And we confess, we get it wrong, we stumble and we fall and we doubt, and we're often afraid and we get angry and petty. But you've promised us grace. And so humbly we ask to receive that grace, to stand in your presence and offer our prayers and we give you thanks. We give you thanks for every good thing, for the things that are of eternal value in our lives. God, thank you for the rising of the sun. Thank you for the beauty we see when it sets. For the wonders of your created order, for the people in our lives that we love, for the hope that we find in each new day. God, thank you for all of it. And we ask for your blessing. We ask your blessings upon those who make big decisions and find themselves in positions of power and influence. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Show them who they are. Show them what is valuable. Show them who you are. Instruct them in how they ought to live and how they ought to use this power and influence they have. And God, for those people who just quietly go about their business, the quiet saints of our churches and our communities, the volunteer workers, the teachers and the nurses and the folks who pick up trash and work trades, the folks who just keep things going in the world, God bless them and keep them. God, we pray, make your face to shine upon them and give them peace. And for us, those gathered here in this unique way that we gather, join us here, we pray. Draw close. Help us to open up our lives to you and our hearts and our minds. And you know that each and every one of us carries a list, a prayer list, a list of our joys and our concerns. And so we make quiet space, dear God, to share with you the joys and the burdens of our hearts. And in this quiet place, we pause and we listen. We listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gift of peace and quiet. We thank you for our rich history and tradition in the church. We thank you for those who have saved for us our sacred stories and prayers. We pray you will hear us as we offer you the prayer that goes by your name. Hear us, O God, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we move on from this time together, I pray that we will do so with a clarity of vision that comes from God. The ability to see signs of the kingdom of heaven all around us, the blessings that are present with us here and now and forever, gifts from God, our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.